Morning. It's great to be with you this morning. You're the folks that decided not to go camping this weekend, so thanks. I don't like camping on May long weekend. It's always busy and roads are full, so it's good to be in the house of the Lord together. It's good to be worshiping together. God moves through worship in us. And actually combats against the enemy through worship. Did you know that? You read 2 Chronicles 20, and there's these five kings that are coming against the people of God. And their response was a call to worship, a call to praise. And they didn't have to lift a hand because God broke through, and the enemies were fighting themselves. Isn't that amazing when we think of that? We live in a world and a society today that needs the people of God and needs the love of God. And the praise of his people actually works towards that. So we enjoy the praise. I get to move along to a lot of different churches and different styles of worship, and they're all great. God is working in those ways. I want to bring you greetings from the EMCC national team and our president, Kirvin Rogust. And I want to thank you, deeply thank you, for your participation in the ministry of EMCC. We are following Jesus on mission together. That's what we're about. And so I have a privilege of traveling across Western Canada, sharing a little bit more about the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada and what we are trying to do as a family together. Let me start by introducing my family. So here's my family, and this was, it's getting almost close to 2 years ago now with my daughter's wedding. So on your left there is my oldest son, Nathan. Nathan has just completed his fourth year at Briarcrest Bible College, and he's looking to start into a ministry role this fall. So next to Nathan is myself. I'm trying to smile. I'm happy there, but I just don't have a good smile. So forgive me for that. And then next to me is my wife, Diana. We've been married for 31 years, and just praise the Lord for Diana and her walk with me. And then next to Diana is our daughter, our middle daughter, Jennifer. And she got married to James. And so they right now live in Calgary, and Jennifer is working at the Mustard Seed in Calgary as a resident aide. And then beside them is Kyle, and Kyle is our oldest and living in Airdrie, and like some in Alberta, is looking for a job right now. So that's where we are at as a family. And of course, that's my family. Each of us come from a family, and we're part of the broader family of God and the family or tribe that we call the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada. Just, I want to take a few moments just to give you a couple updates from the broader EMCC. First of all, our new president, Kirvin, was elected not this last regional gathering, but a year ago at our General Assembly with a 95% vote. And he comes with a long ministry experience as well as a desire to see the church rise in its kingdom potential. We had a lot of transition in our national team this last year. Our outgoing president, Phil Del Sol, retired, as well as one of our executive administrator assistant was Gene Winker, retired, as well as Sandra Chart, who is our World Partners Director, and our assistant or associate World Partners Director, Lou Geens. That's a lot of people going off the team. And so we've been in this kind of time of transition. And thank you for your prayers for that. Transition is both good and bad. It's good because you need new blood. God is directing other people in. It's a challenge sometimes because you have to learn to speak the new language together. And so we've been doing that, and I think doing that well. We have a new World Partners Director, Joel Zanting. He used to be on the regional minister team along with myself, but he's moved into the World Partners Director chair, as well as a new Director of Operations, Nathaniel Ong, has joined the team this fall. Now, we had our regional gathering. Maybe Pastor Mitch has shared with you some of the things that happened there. We were in Red Deer at Crossroads. Basically, our theme was made to be, and it came out of Revelation 5, 9, and 10. We're made to be a ransomed people for God from every nation, kingdom, a kingdom of priests to our God. That's our calling. And so we talked about that and shared about that and prayed about that as we were focused on that together. We also have been undergoing what we call a discovery assessment project. Now, sometimes when a new leader comes in, and I think it's important to reflect on the reality of where you are and where then God wants you to go next. It's not saying we've done awful in the past, but it's just saying we need to go to where God wants us to continue to go. So we've been doing that this past fall, and even at regional gathering, we've been working towards that. Some of the focus and highlights, they're not earth-shattering, but I think when God starts to tell his people and us what we should be focused on, we should do it. Things like prayer, disciple-making, and developing new leaders are some of the things that are starting to rise to the surface. Let me just share a few. New churches have joined the EMCC in the last year. One is the Foothills Community Church of Okotoks, led by Steve Shifley. And they meet in a theater in Okotoks, actually. In fact, the theater that they're meeting in has, they built such a good relationship with this theater that the owners of the theater were looking for new management and asked the church if they would manage the theater. Now, of course, there's challenges with that, but it allows them as a church to kind of pick and choose what movies would come and be shown in the theater, as well as to have a place in the community as well. Another church is called Gospel Fire Church. That's a good name, isn't it? A strong name, Gospel Fire Church. And it's actually a church plant from our Brooks Sudanese church. So a number of Sudanese people immigrate to Canada. A lot of them get a start in Brooks because there's this big meat packing plant there. And then after a couple of years, they start to spread out across Alberta. So one of the places that some of these people have been going and gathering is in Lethbridge. So you can be praying for Pastor James Fanuel as he leads that new church in Lethbridge. And then there's another church called the Edge Home Church Network. Now, this is a church that doesn't have a building. It meets in homes. And this is countrywide across Canada. About 30 home churches are a part of this network. And they're a part of EMCC. They've been partnered with Center Street Church for the last 10 years, and they've decided as they've grown just to become their own connected entity to the Evangelical Missionary Church. So pray for Pastor John Pritchard, Tim Volkman, who some of you know, I think, as well as Dylan Giles, who are a part of that ministry and seen it expand. I just want to go across the seas for a moment. Yeshu Darbar is a ministry that our little tribe, the EMCC, has been involved with for several years. And it's a ministry in central India. And this is in the heart of Hinduism. And it's kind of come out of a university where the chancellor or vice chancellor of the university is a Christ follower and has developed this ministry. Yeshu Darbar is the royal house of Jesus. That's what it means. And so in the midst of Hinduism, you have this university with Christ followers who are seeing a huge impact of people coming to Jesus. In fact, we've been using some of our disciple-making processes to help train them. But this Yeshu Darbar has grown way beyond where we are. They have about 3 million people connected to this Yeshu Darbar ministry. They meet in a university chapel, and of course they have other places where they meet. But God is at work. The center of Hinduism, where people would say is a stronghold, it's not too strong for Jesus, is it? God can make a difference. Now, folks, I see Canada, there's strongholds in Canada. Sometimes harder strongholds than even in the heart of Hinduism in India, where the soil is hard. And it's a challenge to help people see the love of Jesus in our own land. But that's not too big for God. Nothing's impossible with God. One more story, and then I'll share a little bit from the Word. But I just want to share about Dan and Carrie Weens, who are missionaries in South Africa. They focus on a ministry called Farming God's Way. And really, in South Africa, there is great need for poverty and people without food, that they bring this ministry called Farming God's Way and help people to work the land and actually bear fruit out of a land that hasn't really borne fruit for many, many years. And they see that fruit grow, and people are growing their own food, able to eat. Not only that, but God prospers them. And that's multiplied. In fact, they're able to sell the fruit of the crops and able to gain some money. So come out of poverty. Can you imagine? We're in the EMCC, a part of making a difference in hunger and poverty in Africa. In fact, this ministry, Dan and Carrie have been in Ethiopia and some other places to start this ministry in other countries in Africa. This little tribe called the EMCC has this international focus and ability to make a difference. People ask Dan, well, why don't you just teach good agricultural practices? Why don't you just do that? And he says, you know what? When God starts to bless the land and bless the people who are following him, the local witch doctor comes along and starts to say curses against them. And the only way to combat that is with the massive power of God and the power of Jesus' name. And that's why. Isn't that exciting that we can be a part of that? You're a part of that. And we praise the Lord for that. As the EMCC, we have about 157 churches across Canada right now, about 69 in Western Canada and about 88 in Eastern Canada. I say about because there are some just kind of birthing and some, yes, there are some that are closing. And that sometimes is the life cycle of a church, and God raises something else up in that. As a denomination, we desire to follow Jesus together. That's what we're about. In fact, we're about making disciples who make disciples. And disciple making is so important. I was just listening to a book on the way up here to New Sarepta, and I was caught by this phrase that the author says. His name is J.R. Briggs. And he says this, it caught me. He says, ultimately, every church will be evaluated by one thing. It's disciples. And he says, your church is only as good as its disciples. Wow. When I started on the national team with EMCC, I've been doing this for about 12 years ago, we were starting to ask what churches need. And they were saying things like disciple making, discipleship, those kind of things. But when we asked people what they thought disciple making was, we came up with a whole bunch of different answers. None of them wrong, but it seemed kind of a scattering here and there of what it meant to follow Jesus. And so we came up with what we called the way of Jesus. And you can go to the next slide. And the way of Jesus is just seven statements that describe for us what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So they're descriptions, but they're also things that help us understand how we live out our lives and how we are to follow Jesus. So I think you can see them up there. Why don't we just read these seven statements together, and I'm going to talk about one of them. Let's read together. His life. I have begun following Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. His mission. I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. His character. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. His love. I am learning to love God and love others. His teachings. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. His disciples, I am helping someone, and someone is helping me be a reproducing follower of Jesus. And his community, I am participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. Really, we would summarize all these statements in one phrase that we say, I am learning to live like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. So, this is a tool, this is a platform that we have been using to help our people, help our churches to follow Jesus. And by the way, this is on our webpage. You can just go to emcc.ca and search for Following Jesus. You'll find it there right away. I want to look today, though, at the third statement, which is his character. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. Now, if you think back a little while ago, we had a theological term called sanctification. Does anybody remember that term? Sanctification? Sure, we use that term. Well, this statement really describes what we're trying to say with sanctification. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, in my behaviors, and in my character. Now, we know that this can't happen without the Spirit of Jesus in us, without the Holy Spirit within us. Now, an attitude, we usually understand what's a bad attitude. We know somebody, maybe you know somebody today who has a bad attitude, or you didn't get your coffee yet, and they have a bad attitude. Well, an attitude is simply a way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, and you have a certain attitude about that. Really, an attitude is reflected then in our own behavior, isn't it? How people behave and how they do things, whether towards others or in the situation they find them in. And that demonstrates their character, because it's those mental or moral qualities that is distinctive to us, is how we live out. And we want to describe ourselves as followers of Jesus as people who have the attitudes, the behaviors, and the character of Jesus. That's how we're describing ourselves. I think a lot of times I come back to what we call the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, or gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there's no law. And if we look through that list, I don't know about you, but I would kind of stop at a few words there, and I go, oh, yeah, I'm not doing very well. One of mine is patience. something happens to me when I get in my car and get on the number 2 highway, and there's somebody driving down the left side of the road on the lane, and they're going slower than I want to go. And I get frustrated, and I start to kind of talk and jabber. And I know that they can't hear me, but I'm saying things like, get over, come on, get over, or something like that. I get impatient, and I get frustrated. And you know what happens if I think about it? When I get impatient, I lose my love and my joy and my peace and my kindness and goodness and faithfulness. Those things really track out. And it's because I've lost my patience. I've lost what the fruit, what the Spirit wants to produce out of me. I've lost it, and it crushes some of those other things. And so I find that if God's Spirit isn't working out of me, if I'm not allowing that, that this fruit is stopped. My patience wears thin. For each of us, I think there are similar things that can happen in our attitudes and behavior and character. And you don't like it when it happens. It happens to all of us. And it usually happens suddenly and without warning, that we can get angry. And we can turn away from people instead of turning towards them. Or we can get self-focused. We're not generous or merciful, but instead we're judgmental. We can complain about things rather than being grateful. These things happen to me. I'm sure they happen to you once in a while. And what can we do to help us? I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behavior, and character. With the power of the Spirit working in my life, God can create that in me. I want to speak briefly just from Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's also going to be on the screen here. You can see it up there. But Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. And I want to use this just as one of the descriptors of Jesus' attitudes, behavior, and character that he is calling us to follow in the power of his Spirit. So Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Let's pray together. Lord, these are your words that are speaking into our lives right now. And I pray that you would open our ears, that your Spirit would speak specifically. We're all at different places in our journeys right now, but your Spirit can speak specifically into our hearts right now of what you're trying to say to us, how you're trying to express your love, your gracious mercy, and how you're trying to challenge us in to move forward to become more like you in the power of your Spirit. And we pray that you would lead us in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just go to the next slide. I just want to give 3 brief points in this journey today, from this passage. First of all, it's not about me. We know that. We like We like to say this to our kids, right? It's not about you, you know, come on. But it's a truth that our society has completely forgotten, that it's not about me. And even when people are trying to say, oh, yeah, it's about others, it's about this minority group or that, something like that, they're usually still focused on themselves and their perspectives and how they want you to believe. The question we need to ask ourselves is, where is our focus? Is it on me and myself and I? That's our tendency. You know, every once in a while, my wife and I have an argument. In 31 years, I probably can count that maybe on one hand. I'm not going to tell you how many hands that one hand holds or how many fingers in that one hand. There's a lot. There's challenges in marriage, isn't there? There's challenges in developing a relationship where you're wanting to be loving to one another. And so when we have an argument, it's usually my fault. My wife might say it's always my fault. She's probably right. I have challenges. Diana thought when she married me, she would fix me. That's not a good way to enter a marriage. But through her prayers and through her coaching sometimes, God has done a work in me and helped me. But I know that when something turns up and I'm challenged, I start to focus on me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but what did you do? Or what about this? Or what about that? And I like to toss the blame and protect myself. Sometimes we react that way if we're hurt. We like to hurt people back because they hurt us. As followers of Jesus, we are called to move beyond this self-focus. Now don't get me wrong. We need to resolve hurts, okay? Not just, okay, yeah, I'm wrong type of thing. We need to resolve those in graceful ways that help the situation. But let's not start at the place where we focus on ourselves, on protecting ourselves. Let's focus on what God wants to do in me. So it's not about me. In reality, Paul points us in this passage here that it's about Jesus. In fact, in verses 1 and 2, he really describes it. Our focus should be on Christ, on his love, on his spirit, on his unity that is demonstrated through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We need to participate and be filled with that Spirit to work in us. We need help. We can't do this on our own. The writer to the Hebrews says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And then it describes Jesus and who he is. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy. That's an attitude of Jesus. So, if I take off my glasses, you all look a lot better. I'm kidding, right? Pastor Mitch, he probably tells a lot. I don't tell jokes well. Pastor Mitch just has this done. But I understand that when I was in seminary, things started to get blurry. And I went to the doctor, and I was getting a physical, and of course the nurse had me do one of these eye tests, right where you read the lines across there, and I think I got to the third line, and I couldn't read it. And the nurse's reaction to that was by asking me a question. She said, did you drive here? It's a good question. I said, well, yes, I did, and I'm going to see the optometrist tomorrow. And she goes, okay, well, I'll stay off the road for at least a day. And I did, and I got glasses, and I could see clearer again. And as we follow Jesus, we need to fix our eyes on him, but also see the situations that he's placed us in through his eyes and through his focus. We need to put on Jesus and see every circumstance through him. Because as we do that, we start to reflect Jesus. Just as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. God's work within us causes us to see things through Jesus, to be more like Jesus in our attitudes, behavior, and character. So here's what Paul's trying to say to the church in Philippi. And he's saying the same to us. God's saying the same thing to us. Keep Jesus central. When you're facing a circumstance, I know we've heard that what would Jesus do kind of phrase and saying, but it's more than just what would Jesus do. It's actually perceiving everything from the viewpoint of Jesus in our lives. Because he lives within us, we have encouragement in Christ. No matter the circumstance, we should be encouraged. Even if we fail or fall, even in the troubling and trials that we find ourselves in, we can be encouraged because Christ lives in us and we have comfort. He loves us so much. His Spirit participates and lives within us. And because Jesus lives within us, we can actually demonstrate his affection and his sympathy and be unified together even when we're in disagreement, even when we're challenged in those relationships. Having the same mind, Paul is saying, and making us one because his Spirit brings us all together. That's what unifies us. It's not about us. So how do we live this out? Here's how I do. I wake up every morning and say, Lord, help me. It's a good prayer. It is. It's a good prayer. Lord, help me, fill me, lead me by your Spirit today. I pray for the specific thing you might be struggling with. Me, it's my driving. Lord, help me as I'm driving on the Lord to bless others. So here's what happens now. Most of the time, I'm driving along with my wife, and somebody gets out in front of me, and Diana hears me say things like, Lord, bless them. And she starts to laugh. But she knows God's working in me, right? She knows that. Lord, bless them. I know you love them so much that you died for them. Gives a completely different perspective on just a person who's going slow. I need to verbalize that in my life and have the Spirit flow out of that. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. Secondly, it's about others. Now, if it's not about us, Paul goes on to say it's about others. Now, we've already talked about it really is about Jesus, and Paul knows that. He stated that. But here in the context of Philippians, you got to understand, if you read chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul understands that this is a church that is persecuted. They're suffering. They're oppressed. Things aren't going well. It's hard. And Paul says our response to that is to live this out like Jesus and care about others. Can you believe that? That's how Paul is responding to trials and struggles in our lives, to care and live for others. So living like Jesus has a purpose of sharing the good news about Jesus with others. Our salvation is not just about us, it's about passing it along to others. And in verse 3 it says, don't just do things for yourself, for your selfish ambition, for your conceit. You know, sometimes I know that I probably live out a little bit more of a selfish faith than I would want to admit. Because I think, you know, if maybe I show up at church and do some things in the church and, well, get up and preach in New Sarepta, yes. You know, that I'm doing that and I'm going to heaven. But Paul is pushing the Philippians, even though they're downtrodden, even though they're struggling, listen, folks, it's about Jesus and Jesus' focus. Just as the Father sent me, so send I you. It's about others, moving into others' lives. So we're to be humble and consider others more significant than ourselves. Does that mean that we're not significant? We're absolutely significant to God. But consider others, Paul is saying. And it's totally countercultural of what people are doing today, isn't it? So we can ask ourselves the question, can analyze this. Are we looking out for ourselves or others? I think it's a good question to ask ourselves on a regular basis. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of ourselves, our families, but it's not just about our interests. It's about others. So, I'm on a journey. It's a journey I haven't been on before, but my mom and dad aren't doing well. My dad's 85, my mom's 81. My dad has cancer. It's returned. So he had surgery, he had radiation, now it's back. And guess what? Humans can't do anything else. They only have a limited ability to do anything with cancer. And my mom's got dementia, so my dad's been primary caregiver. And wow, there's a lot of things to discuss and work out, and I've got this busy schedule. Am I willing to change things around so I can care for my parents? Because they should, and they need it. And so this week, I was with them at the doctor's office. On Tuesday, we'll be talking to home care. It's a journey, but I've had to remind myself, it's not about me, Brian. It's about Jesus. It's about looking out for those that God has placed around you, looking out for them. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. And finally, just to live like Jesus. So Jesus is our model. The same Jesus who lives within us, and his Spirit asks us to live the same way that he lived and died. So in verses 5 through 8, we get this picture of Paul describing, here's the attitudes and behaviors and character of Jesus. He didn't go after equality with God, even though he could have, because he was God. Right from the beginning of the biblical story, that's what it's all been about. People wanting to be like God. Right? The serpent. You could be like God. And the enemy continues to tell us, we should have all the control of our lives. We should do what we want to do. And Jesus said, although I'm God, I'm going to put that's aside. Wow. That's important to hear for us today. Instead, Jesus made himself empty. Empty-handed. He gave up everything and he became a servant. Not a king or lord, although he's king and lord now, but through his life on earth, servant. That was who he was. And in humble obedience, he came, no matter the cost. Jesus is the model of how we should live our lives. We want to live like Jesus, for Jesus, and in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. Let me just share a story from one of our sister churches, Powers Creek Church in West Kelowna in the Okanagan. They have a ministry that they call Change for a Dollar. All it is that everybody knows it, and they share about it every Sunday. If you have some extra change in your pocket and people come with some change, they go, just put it in this bottle here, and we're going to use it to help somebody in our community. Somebody that doesn't come to the church, but help somebody and just give the love of Jesus into their lives. And so a person can come to the pastor or a leader in the church and say, yeah, I know somebody. Let's help them. They help them get an appliance or pay rent, whatever it might be. This one lady was driving down the road, and there was a lady in the car stalled and could see that there was a problem. And she felt the Spirit tugging at her heart saying, stop. Help that person. And she's going, well, that everybody has a phone. They can call who they need. And she just went home. And the Spirit kept tugging at her and saying, you need to go back and help that person. And so she went back. And she found out this person didn't have any money. They were actually living in their car, and they were stuck on the side of the road. And so she phones up the pastor and said, hey, I got a person. They need some help getting their car fixed. They towed it to Canadian Tire, got the car fixed. And, of course, Canadian Tire knows the church. They know what they do. And as they were fixing this lady's car, the manager came out to the pastor who was there and said, you know what, she needs new tires too. And the pastor says, oh, well, we don't have money for new tires. And the manager says, that's okay, we'll put on new tires for her. You see what happens when we start to live like Jesus? It gets passed along. You know what happened? This lady got a job. She sends a check back to the church to pay for what they paid for to fix her car. And she says, this is my church now. Can you use this money to help somebody else? Isn't that amazing? It's a good story. That's a real story. That's a God story of people living like Jesus. So we take this posture of emptiness, an empty cup needing God to fill us, willing to serve no matter what, obedience no matter the cost, and live like Jesus in our attitudes, behavior, and character. So what's God saying to you today? What's God saying to me? We are invited to follow Jesus, to grow and being more like him every day. It's a journey. I haven't arrived. I don't know if anybody else here has. I'm still on this journey. And there may be character places in our lives that Jesus is challenging us. I want you to be more like me. I can help you. I want to be there. I want to fill you with my Spirit. Ask for the Spirit's help. And the Lord has given us an example for me, for you, for every follower of Jesus. I'm learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behavior, and character. So what's God saying? I'll just close with this final story. It's about my dad. My dad's been a lay leader in the church all his life. They were at Center Street Church for a while. They were greeting. They were visiting people who were in the hospital and needed help. And my mom and dad just moved to Olds into a senior facility closer to us where we live in Didsbury. And they kind of said a thank you to my mom and dad. They had a little luncheon for them. And one of the pastors there said this to my dad. I'd never heard this story before, but he said this. He said, Ed, that's my dad's name, you remember this one young man was in a terrible accident. He was paralyzed from the waist down. And Ed, you visited him. And then he said this, and I was caught by it. He said, Ed, I think you saved this person's life. In fact, my dad visited him, shared Jesus' love with him. He became a Christian. God transformed his life in a powerful way. And I'm thinking, folks, little things like visiting someone has the power to transform. And that's in the name of Jesus, by living out our lives like Jesus did. Has the power to save lives. It really does. Of course, we're looking for that commitment to follow Jesus. Absolutely. But those steps, as we are learning to be like Jesus in our attitudes, behaviors, and character, they make a huge difference. It's been good to be with you today. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word here. And I pray that your Spirit, by your Spirit, you would speak into our hearts. You're speaking to us today in some way. I just pray that you'd continue that work. And Lord, that we would listen and trust and obey you in all that you have for us. I pray your blessing upon this church. I pray your blessing upon Pastor Mitch and his family, as well as the leaders here. Lord, continue to bless them as they're living like you, for you, and in the power of your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. It's been good to be here today.